Good morning. I want to talk about peace this morning. Peace. Most of us long for peace. A moment when everything is as it should be. An afternoon with no kids. An evening with no teenage nutsiness going on in the house. A walk with only the sounds of nature. A day with no demands. Peace. Most of us understand peace by what is missing. No strife, no conflict, no arguing, no divisions, no complications, no angst, no tension, no relational pressures. Peace. It's often something we expect to happen to us or around us that will somehow make us or life better than it was before it happened. Peace. Peace is a significant theme wrapped up in the Christmas story. We think peace is what might come to pass when Jesus comes into our life. We think peace is the fruit of walking with Jesus instead of following the ways of the world. Peace for most of us, most of the time, is something we long for more of, thinking, hoping that the longing for is enough to make that peace happen. My friends, it's not, and it doesn't. And here's the problem. For the most part, we want peace delivered to us or provided for us, and perhaps maybe we think of it as a perk of being a Christian. And I would like to suggest this morning that biblical peace is not a thing. It is not an absence. It is not a better time. It is not just no problems. You see, our kind of peace might be any one of these shallower things, but God offers a kind of peace that is deeper and more meaningful. You see, as we lean into God, embracing His ideals and His ways, His Spirit births a peace within us such that we learn peace as a response, not a visceral or gut or knee-jerk reaction to. It's in spite of the fact that we're imperfect, that we're flawed, that we're weak, that we're inconsistent. And actually, this peace that God creates and makes possible that rise up within us might satisfy us in spite of the circumstances that otherwise might leave us wallowing in a new moment of brokenness. This morning, as we begin to think about peace, I'd like to offer a definition. In the Bible, the words for peace carry notions. Let me share a few words that try to capture the notion of biblical peace. Totality, completeness, success, fulfillment, wholeness, harmony, security, well-being. It's not so much a thing we have or hold or use as it is a state of being or response to our circumstances, what's going on around us. And I think we see this kind of peace in the Christmas story, and actually we see it in Mary, who experienced some rather stressful moments and yet maintained a peace. This thing that seemed to engulf her and hold her. And it was a peace that was in contrast to her circumstances, and maybe it was almost a presence. If we could have been there, we might have got sucked into the peace that she enjoyed. Actually, I'm convinced that you and I can also experience that kind of peace that seemed to color Mary's life. Let's start at the beginning. Mary was just living her everyday Jewish life, a life that was arranged around God's ideals, a community, a government, a worship style, a pattern of life. Until an angel stopped by for a chat and said, "Oh, you will birth a child, God's son, and you'll name him Jesus." We read about that in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And as we read that passage, as we listen to that story, we recognize in there that Mary was troubled. The text tells us that, but we also recognize in the text that she immediately calmed down. She was able to have intelligent conversation to ask good questions of this angel, and her questions were for understanding, unlike Zacharias, who had earlier had a visit with an angel, and his questions were about doubt, and he was left mute. Mary's response is rather extraordinary. "Okay, I'm your servant." Now, I'd like to suggest that Mary's responses, the talking to the angel, the understanding of the request that was made of her as much as she could, because the whole idea of a Holy Spirit coming on her and impregnating her, I'm sure, was beyond her capability. It's beyond mine. Maybe you can understand it. And she surrendered to God's will, as evidenced by the peace that was in her life. She did this thing. And it was based on her relationship with God. And out of that relationship, and in spite of the circumstances, peace was birthed, not anxiety. And as further evidence of peace in Mary's life, she focused on another person's joy, Elizabeth. She wasn't stuck in the overwhelming circumstances of her own life, things that were so far beyond what she was capable of doing. She hurried to be with her relative Elizabeth to celebrate her good fortune. Listen to that text in Luke chapter 1. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.'" In this peace, they heard God. In this peace, they heard God. Now, Mary's pregnancy progressed. It progressed with a sense of peace, probably in spite of overheard whispers and socially expected gossip. There's no wedding. She's pregnant. She's starting to show. I did the numbers. I don't know how that happened. I'm sure that was going on, and I'm sure because their little community they lived in, she heard some of that, and that had to be hard to hear. And yet Mary did what mothers-to-be did. And one of the things that she would do would be to join her espoused and travel to Bethlehem that they might register for the census demanded by the Roman tax collectors. No Volvo, no Chrysler. They were on foot or on the back of a donkey. For a very pregnant young lady, this would not be an easy trip. And this journey to Bethlehem, we know the story. It involves other stressors in this young girl's life. A room in a stable because there's no room in the inn. Birthing Jesus away from home because Jesus, like a lot of little babies, choose to be born at the most awkward moment. In a feeding trough as a cradle. And seemingly, as we read the story, peace in the midst of a significant number of potential stressors. And Mary did what mothers-to-be do. Listen to Luke's words. And as you hear these words, remember that Luke was a medical doctor. He understood stuff. Remember that Luke was an amateur historian, a researcher of the story of Jesus. And he wrote these words, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. And so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I would like to suggest that Mary's response of peace was possible because she knew she was right where God wanted her, and she full well knew that. She full well knew that. Now, I've been pastor long enough to travel with a significant number of families and watch how the times have changed, how doctors' advice to new mothers has changed, and even watched new mothers and young couples process their children. And I've recognized, as I've gone along, that usually child number one has the full benefits of strict adherence to the doctor's directions. An ideal amount of isolation, the appropriate ways of sanitizing everything that would come anywhere near the baby, and a certain amount of protection. And child number two benefits from all of that stuff, plus all the experience gained from raising child number one. And then I've watched a lot of families, not all of them, but a lot of families, when they get to child number three and four and beyond, they seem to somehow manage, these newborns, these children, they seem to somehow manage to grow up seemingly raised by the family dog. It's old news in the house. But Mary's Jesus, this is child number one. There is no doctor. She's not even near her midwife. And it's not a sterilized nursery or birthing room. And there's no monitored visits. Jesus was born in an animal shelter. He was wrapped in strips of cloth, and he was cradled in a food trough for animals. And he was visited by fresh from the fields shepherds. We read about this in Luke 2, beginning at verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them." Verse 12, "This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Verse 15, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about.' And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." And it's interesting, and I just thought of this as I was reading this, that they said they would go and see this thing that had happened, fully trusting the angel's word. Now, I'm going to go way out on the proverbial limb here, and I'm going to suggest that for Mary and Joseph and Jesus, there was no privacy. Now, the shepherds might have knocked if there had been a door, which we don't know that there was a door. We don't even know what kind of feeding room it was or animal shelter. It probably was a cave, maybe with some barricade on the front to protect the animals from the other animals that want to eat them. Maybe it was some kind of wooden shelter, but it was probably not a place that would have been well sorted out from the rest of life. And as we think about these shepherds visiting, they probably did with Jesus what most of us do when we see a new baby. "Isn't he cute?" And we touch them. Fresh from the fields. Not washed. Mary, fresh from birthing. Midwife Joseph in the mess cleaning up. Working from the lessons that they had been given as they were working through their pregnancy before they left on this taxing journey. doing the best that they could. And here they are surrounded by an entertaining guests, smelly shepherds. But I see no anxiety in the passage, nor anything offered in Mary's response. It says in verse 19 that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I want to call this soul journaling. Soul journaling. Mary's response to this scene, to this extended story that she's living out, was to safely lock in her memory these things that she was experiencing so that she could ponder them later. Not stress, not anxiety, but a peace in knowing that she was where God wanted her, that her experiences were in and under God's care. Things that might otherwise have been overwhelming. Mary embraced these moments, and she saved the memories of when God had come near. Soul journaling. Now, I do need you to know that Mary was not perfect. Mary had her less peaceful moments with Jesus, and we don't know what all of them were, and I'm sure there were a number of them, but we have one that was given to us in the Scriptures, and it was 12 years later, at the end of Luke chapter 2. They were on a normal family trip to the temple, and on the return home from this experience there, Jesus had gone missing, had actually been missing for probably 2 or 3 days, because they had gone a full day's journey away from where they had been as a family doing this worship experience, and they had rummaged through the caravan that they were and turned around and went back to Jerusalem, and they wandered around looking for Jesus, and it was all for nothing because, well, he was at Sunday school. He was teaching the teachers. Later, he was scolded by Mom, and he never did that again. Mary wasn't perfect. She had her moments. But in this scene that we're celebrating at this time of the year, she knew she was where she needed to be. And it was okay. Now, having said all of that, pointed all those things out, the question remains, what are we to do with this? These beautiful word pictures drawn from the life of Mary, how are we to process them for ourselves? Well, first, I'd like us to consider Mary's background, a good Jewish girl who knew about God and who was open to the God that she knew about and was accepting of his reveal. He had revealed himself to her through the angel. He had revealed himself through the enlivening of her womb. And she was open to that. I believe you and I can be just like Mary as we learn to lean in and learn about God and about the life that he makes possible, as well as choosing to be ready to respond as she did. Yes, I am your servant. Secondly, consider Mary's awkward circumstances. Pregnant before she was married, and doing so in a very unforgiving culture. And yet she didn't freak out because she saw God in it. And she knew that if God was involved, it was somehow the right place to be. We can learn to be like Mary as we build greater trust in God by celebrating each God encounter, soul journaling, holding these memories of when God has come near, knowing that each one of these memories added to the other memories and stories in our lives, deepening our understanding of God and our trust in the God we claim to follow. And finally, consider the peace that cradled Mary We talk about the cradle that Jesus was in, but I'd like to think about the peace that literally held her up in these moments. A peace that was simply there. It was the fruit of the life she had been living, a life lived in the shadow of a God that she was beginning to understand more and more, and who she expected to experience in her lives. Well, how many of us live like that? Aren't we more shocked when he shows up, jolted into an awareness that God is presence? We can learn to be like Mary, one experience at a time, as we learn to lean more on the God who reveals himself to us and less on ourselves, less on our things, even our support structure. We can learn to be more like Mary as we think ever so bigger about God than the small God that we keep in our home. The bigger God is in the moments of our lives, the bigger the moments of our lives might become, and the smaller the stressors seem to be. And peace. Peace becomes our natural response. An awareness, contentment, of wholeness, because we know that while we are in God, we are complete. We are fulfilled. We are whole. We are secure. We are in harmony with his plan for our lives. Peace. Just like Mary, regardless of the circumstances, because God is, and we know that. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you this morning that you are indeed bigger. Bigger than we can imagine. I thank you that you reveal yourself to us, and you do so in a language and in a way that speaks to us in the moments of our lives. And I thank you. I thank you for what you're going to do in our lives as we surrender more of our moments to that awareness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand and sing with us, please?